Scientific American has now existed for 180 years. That's wild. First published in August of 1845. I have been subscribed myself since the 1980s. So that's some portion of it. And I just got a box to celebrate the 180th anniversary of this magazine that I have come into my house every month and have for most of my life. And it says, I'm a longtime fan of Crash Course and SciShow, so I want to thank you for all that you do to support the cause of science and for making my subway commutes way more fun. I hope we can work together in the future. Yours, David. Is that David, like the chief editor-in-chief of Scientific American, David? I've met one editor-in-chief of Scientific American. There haven't been that many, honestly, considering that age. There's been 10 in 180 years. It's like a pope. Yes, absolutely. Oh, that's nice. Notebook. It's just like a very small, it's a small flashlight. Scientific American, I love you, but everybody's got phones now. But this is the cool thing. This is, as I was saying, August of 1845. This is what Scientific American looked like. This is cool! I did not know that this was going to be in there. This is the first issue of Scientific American. Now, probably wouldn't have been yellowed. They probably did that just to make it look a little more classy. But here we have it. Gotta put my readers on situation. The Scientific American published every Thursday morning at number 11 Spruce Street, New York, number 16 State Street, Boston, and number 21 Arcade. This can't be the first. Is it the first one? Volume 1, number 1. Wow, they started out with multiple places where they were publishing. They're like, we're not going to just do this in one spot. Who the heck put all that together? Maybe it'll say in here. Each number will be furnished from 2 to 5 original engravings. So like this streetcar here is an original engraving. Is that what that? No, that's a train car. Improved railroad cars. There is perhaps no mechanical subject in which improvement has advanced so rapidly within the last 10 years as that of railroad passenger cars. Let any person contrast the awkward and uncouth cars of 1835, with the superbly splendid long cars now running on several of the eastern roads, and he will find it difficult to convey it to a third party a correct idea of the vast extent of improvement. There's a poem? There's 2 poems! That's not how we do things anymore. Catalog of American patents. We've got the American patents over here. It was just 4 pages. One big giant sheet of paper. And look, I think that's how they should all be. Man, I would not mind just getting one of these in the mail. That's awesome. I love that. Is the print a little small for my 45-year-old eyes? Sure. What's the coolest story in here, though? Morse's telegraph. Morse's telegraph? That seems like a big deal. This wonder of the age, which has for several months been operating between Washington and Baltimore, appears likely to come into general use through the length and breadth of our land. That was correct. Arrangements are already made for extending the lines to Philadelphia, New York, Albany, Buffalo, Springfield, Boston, and various other cities and sections. The Honorable Amos Kendall, ex-Postmaster General, has taken the management of the invention. Ooh. As proprietor or agent, we are not informed. While the inventor is on a tour to Russia, we shall take an early opportunity to give our readers a full and minute description of this invention with explanations and illustrations of its principles. But in consequence of the press and variety of matter which presses on this, our first number, we are constrained to defer it. So we don't have enough space to talk about it right now. We will add the remark, however, that it is contemplated by the merchants of our western states to communicate their orders for goods, etc., by means of the telegraph instead of abiding the slow and tedious progress of railroad cars. So if they needed stuff, they had to do railroad cars, and they're like, boy, this is going to be great for the western states to be able to just ask for stuff today. More poems. This poem is called Speak Gently, which is going to be very American, I assume. We've got aerial navigation. We've got interesting experiments. Rational religion. What is true in rational religion? In answer to this important question, we shall come to the point at once without prejudice or sectarian influence. We're going to get that one settled immediately. What is rational religion? Don't worry. The answer is easy and attainable, and we're going to lay it out in the next 200 words. Wild to be talking about the deity in the first issue of Scientific American. What course of conduct in us frail, erring human creatures will now, under all the present existing circumstances, be acceptable and approved by our divine creator, who continually watches over us and observes our every act and the thoughts of our hearts? That was all one question. That's not how we write anymore. The sentences need to be shorter. It's the TikTok era. Here's our Speak Gently
poem. Speak gently. It is better far to rule by love than fear. Speak gently. Let not harsh words mar the good we might do here. Speak gently. Love doth whisper low the vows that true hearts bind, and gently friendship's accents flow, affliction's voices kind. Affliction? That is what it looks like it says. It is what it says. I would have expected affection, but okay. Speak gently to the little child. Its love be sure to gain. Teach it in accents soft and mild. It may not long remain. Oh my God. It was 1845. It may not long remain. There's a science experiment in here? To write in various colors with the same pen, ink, and paper, take a sheet of paper and wet some parts of it with a solution of subcarbonate of potash, which must be diluted with water so as not to appear on the paper when dry. Wet some other parts with diluted muriatic acid or with juice of lemons. Some other parts may be wet with a diluted solution of alum, and others with an infusion of nut galls, water in which bruised and pulverized nut galls have been seeped. None of these preparations must be so strong as to color the paper any. When these are dry, take some finely powdered sulfate of iron and rub it gently on some... Man, somebody do this. On some parts of the paper that have been wet with the subcarbonate of potash and infusion of galls. Then, with the juice of violets or of other leaves of red cabbage, write on the paper as usual with a pen, a fountain pen. The ink is of itself a faint purple. Where the paper was wet with acid, the writing will be bright red. On the subcarbonate of potash, it will take on a beautiful green. On the alum, it will be brown, and on the subcarbonate of potash that was rubbed with the powdered sulfate of iron, it will be deep yellow. That's awesome! I love that! Yeah! Hell yeah! Should I try to do this? We are informed that more than $2 million worth of American clocks have been shipped to England within the past year, notwithstanding the heavy duties thereon. 10,000 clocks have been sent from one house in Boston. Cotton goods of various kinds have also been shipped in considerate quantities, and we know of several articles which might be, and soon will be, exported with great advantage. But what seems decidedly queer is that the British manufacturers are now putting American stamps on their articles of export, even when sent to their own colonies. It is reported that a bale of goods recently arrived at Quebec from England, stamped as if it were made in Maine. We hope our Canadian neighbors will look sharp on the old folks at home, or they may find themselves taken in more essentially than they have hitherto learned to anticipate. We're getting scammed in Canada with British people putting Made in America on their stuff, because American stuff is so good! I love that. I am like a history nut. I've got an old popular science right here. This is so cool. You didn't have to send me all that other stuff, Scientific American. This, you knew what the cool thing was. Thank you for sharing this with me.